Welcome to the Turkey Hunter Podcast with me, your host, Andy Galliano. In this podcast, I share with turkey hunters just like you how to have more turkeys on your hunting property and how to have more successful turkey hunts. I teach you how to do this with tips and interviews with turkey hunting pros, wildlife management tips, and entertaining turkey hunting stories. Tune in weekly as I share proven and simple strategies to help you have more success this turkey season. Make sure to head over to www.imturkeyhunting.com to subscribe to receive free turkey hunting tips, tactics, strategies, and product reviews. Also, please visit and like my Facebook fan page. Go to Facebook and search I Am Turkey Hunting, and also feel free to post your turkey hunting photos from this past season and let us know where and when you killed your bird. For all of you Twitter users out there, please follow me on Twitter, where my handle is @turkeyhitman, and I will be sure to follow you back. And now, for this week's show. Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. You are listening to episode number 265, the Jeff Buds Traveling Seminar from the 2019 NWTF Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And I am your host, and the guy who did it. If you follow me on Twitter, then you already know, but if you don't, here it is. I told you guys last week that one of my goals for deer season was to kill a deer with my new air rifle that I got, and I did it. I got it done Sunday morning at about 8:15 and killed a nice sized doe. I've got some fresh deer meat in the freezer, and the world is good, but that air rifle is pretty bad news. It sounds about like a .22 long rifle going off, shoots a .357 caliber slug, and on a double lung shot on about an 85-pound doe, it was a pass-through. She ran about 20 yards and could not stand it anymore, so I was pretty excited about that. That was very cool, and I look forward to hopefully killing a couple more deer with it this season as well. So today we are 114 days, 13 hours, 40 minutes, and 19 seconds away from opening day of spring turkey season in Alabama. So I've got a long show for you guys today. I'm going to be playing the seminar that Jeff Buds did at the 2019 NWTF convention. And the seminar is about traveling and turkey hunting. So whether you're traveling to just extend your season, or maybe it's for your Grand Slam or your Super Slam, there's some information in here that you can take away that will probably make that process a little bit easier, a little bit smoother, and maybe a little bit less expensive for you guys. So since the seminar is a little bit long, I'm going to go ahead and jump into it, and I will see you guys on the other side.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm Jeff Buds, and this is my pride and joy. This is Hunter. I just had to say hi to him. My beautiful wife's going to come get him from me. And my stepdaughter, who's now just turned 14, that's her in the picture. So she came down and shot a double of her, the first morning in youth on her Osceolas. We went to Tennessee. You got to do two, one a day. So she did that. And then she doubled for her Miriam and doubled for her Rios. She got her double season Grand Slam. So, and she's in the back too. She's in the, yeah. So that was pretty cool. Thank you, honey. So, yeah, I'll have a drop that. So tell me, show of hands, how many have gotten a Grand Slam? Perfect. How many are trying for a Grand Slam? Super Slam? Trying? Trying? Gotten? Perfect. Trying. And of the Grand Slammers, how many are two? How many are three birds into it? Couple. Two birds into it? Couple more. One bird into it. There you go. So we're working at it. So my claim to fame, and you know, now it's real easy to be at the end of it, or I hope not the end of it, I'm 52, but when I started and got my first Eastern, I've got a picture in my slideshow, April 1st, 1989, a buddy took me out, I'd never done it, and they shot gobbled, and he called in two Eastern, little scrawny Jakes, and we doubled up, and I thought, holy cow, this is pretty incredible. And had I known, had I had an inkling of what it was going to evolve into, I couldn't fathom of the places I've gone. So my Super Slam, I finished that in 14, and so a bird out of every state of the 49, there's none in Alaska that are huntable or legal to hunt. And then the Grand Slam, so this spring I'll get my 100th Grand Slam. And everybody, and I try and answer questions before people ask, because so many people ask the exact same questions, but they say, wait a second, 100 grand slams, a grand slam a year, you're 52, that doesn't add up. And I got my first one when I was 20, and so I realized real quickly that you can get, you got two, so I hunted, got my first grand slam, first bird in 89, no bird in 90, no bird in 91. Second bird was another Jake on April 1st, 1989, and I thought, you know what? I had just gone for a weekend hunt in Illinois. You just got your 3 or 4 day season. And I said, you know what? Next year I'm going to go and I'm going to really hunt and do more. So I went out and I shot at Merriam's, and I had moved out to Colorado. And then 94, I went down and said, I'm going to get an Osceola. So I did that. So 94 is when I got my first Grand Slam. And then I realized you can get two in the spring and two in the fall. There's a super slammer, Doc Weddle. And he's working on his third right there, you guys. So after that, I realized I'm going to start plugging away. And way back when, anybody that's, hopefully you know the name of Dick Kirby, who is just an inspiration, an incredible outdoorsman, family man, Christian, businessman, just an inspiration for anybody, artist. I mean, I'd see him get on a knee with a little kid on a box call. And Mr. Kirby, could you sign my call? And he'd whittle out a sketch of like a Tom strutting on a knoll with a bird and the sun, and I'm just in awe, and they're just little old me who just snipes around and shoots turkeys. And so we went back and forth. I chased him and passed him in the 60s, and unfortunately he passed away after surgery. He never came out of it, and that's been probably 10 years ago. But four Grand Slams a year. I went down in the spring and I wouldn't leave Florida until I got two, and then I'd go in the fall and I wouldn't leave. So four Grand Slams and 20 years of four Grand Slams made it pretty add up pretty quickly. So, you know, just like anything, and the whole spiel today, and I tell everybody, oh, I'd like to do that, I'd like to do that. Well, there's absolutely no excuse for anybody not to do it, because there's public property, and most everybody I deal with, I help out just as many people. So I'm a guide professionally. That's what I do. I guide Osceolas, and then I guide Grand Slams. And Glenn Johnson, Glenn, raise your hand. He came with me for a Grand Slam, single season Grand Slam. I do that in the spring. Come to Orlando, do an Osceola, then Georgia Eastern or North Florida, and then I kick you to the curb, and then you come back out to Denver. I pick you up in Denver, and we go to South Dakota, and then drive down 6 hours, South Dakota Merriam, drive down to Kansas about 6 hours to get your Rio, go back to Denver, and it's both trips are about a 5 day trip. So that's what I do professionally. And then I've been a stay at home dad, and I say that. So I do a lot of trapping and other stuff, but Hunter stays with me. And I've got a couple pictures, and now I'm that guy, you know, and my pictures, you go through my photo and you go through, and there's no more all this stuff. It's just all this stuff. And, you know, and I didn't think I'd ever get there, but golly. So the gist is, you guys have to remember and think about and know and buy into, is that every single person, it's the easiest thing of, everybody talks about bucket lists, and it's not like a grand slam of sheep, which is going to cost you $400,000 or $500,000, and you're going to go on these big rocky, rugged trips and physically demanding. And you know, they're turkeys. You know, they're in every state, and now the tide is turned. That it's you knock on a door and they say, oh, I got one rule, and you're like, oh, here it comes. And they say, if you shoot one, you got to shoot them all. And I say, oh, I can do that rule, you know. And anyway, it's the tide has really turned, and people, especially the super slammers, because honestly, the grand slam is just sort of obsolete now that so many people are trying the grand or the super slam. I think I was the 10th, 11th something to achieve that, and So, but now there's probably each year, I bet you, and I think there's probably going to take another 10 years, 8 years, but there'll probably be 20, 25 people a year that are achieving the Super Slam because now it's just got so much traction. But to knock, ma'am, you're going to have to leave if that kid keeps up all the noise. So just remember, just knocking on doors and setting up your states, and if you're going to go and hunt one state, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't be that person that somebody you call because of a friend of a friend of a friend, and you're so optimistic like me. I do this for a living. I went on an elk hunt last September in Idaho, and they go, oh, 20,000 acres, don't worry about it. When they say don't worry about it, worry about it. When they say trust me, don't trust them, okay? If mama said, if it's too sounds too good to be true, it's not true. I get out there, he had 3,000 acres, because that's all I do is lease and sublease, and guy, all he had 3,000 acres. There's five of us, four of my friends, five of us. After the first day, we never saw another elk. It was horrible. So ask all your questions before. So there's number two. Number one, you can do it. Number two, you're going to do it because you're going to do all the homework. And right now, February 16th, I think, 17th, you're already too late, you know? And I say that, and I've got to a state, and I got a bird and went, oh my gosh, I'm done in a day, and I didn't think about it, and open up my map and say, look, there's public ground. I'm going to head there, and along the way I saw, there's a dairy. Ding. Every dairy I know in turkey country has turkeys. Maybe not in the summer, but in the winter, because everything else is all browned up and died, and their food, they have to feed those cows every day. So we're going to slip through this, if I can, where's my, oh, here we go. If you have a question, if you think if it really pertains to that, I have no problem. In fact, we could stop right now and do question answer. I would love to answer your guys' questions. And please don't be afraid to just nudge. A lot of you guys with couples, just nudge your, you know, the girls or the guys have questions, just nudge them and whisper and have them ask it, you know, and then everybody can laugh at them. But just please ask your questions, because there's nothing I haven't heard so far already when somebody asks questions, and that's how we all learn, is by asking questions. So please, if you want to save it at the end, we'll have some time. They gave me a two-hour window. We'll be here, I don't know, an hour, 45, 50 minutes. But there'll be plenty of time if you can save it. If not, if it pertains, please ask a question. Stop right then, and we'll fly through it. So, double grand slam. She still hasn't tipped her guy. So there, and I had to put this because Jenna, she's just turned 14 now, and you know that window when they just spurt. She was 12 inches younger, and you know, she's a little kid then, and now she's a woman, you know. But it starts with kids. You know, I just saw Danny Young, he's real big with WTF, and then I was talking with Matt Outdoors and stuff, and Matt Lindler is a good friend of mine. I've grown with him for the last 15 years, and last year at the banquet, he said, hey, you guys, I have one thing for you. This year, because somebody said it the year before, they're like, oh, and they, if you try and bite off too much, it's too much. Oh, this year I'm going to get 49 states. Forget, it's too much. This year I'm going to do two states. I'm going to do three states. You can do it. So it's a year around. We drove around the corner. I'll never forget that. We drove around the corner and a whole herd of raccoons ran across the road on one of my leases, and they started running up the tree in the middle of nowhere, and golly, they made a bad choice. Because she was, I mean, I opened the door and I've got three dogs at the time, two kids, wife, we're grabbing guns and dogs and running, and they didn't stand a chance. But it all goes. It's year round. I trap, I scout, I mentor. We got to keep those kids going, because if we don't, we're going to lose it all. Hold on. Did I skip one? Oh, there we go. Oh, so this one, I had to do this. So young guys that come up to me, I'm second paragraph, young guys come up to say to me, I want to do what you are doing. This is a Field & Stream article. I tell them, okay, first thing you do is take off that wedding ring, take it off and smash it with a hammer and throw it out the window, because you're going to come back. I tell you to smash it because you're going to come back at one time. You're going to whimper back and you're going to want to try and find it. And I say, smash it so you can't get it back on. So the missus, she found that and she brings it up to me, and so then now, so now there I am. I'm that guy. But you got to juggle it. And for me, because I do it for a living, I just do that so she can't say no. So here's the crew in our finest. I'm in camo. Hunter is chewing on the dog's ear. Mom's in PJs because she needs a nap. Jenna's taken, she does dance team. And McKenna, who is actually our 10-year-old, she's at a horse show right now and this weekend. So there's McKenna. That was last spring. And I mean, look at that smile. You can't fake that stuff. You know, there's a 9-year-old that shot her first turkey. And 2 weeks later, that was opening youth. 2 weeks later, she shot the other one. He comes out full strut. I said, there he is. And she goes, can I shoot him? I said, honey, he's 100 yards away. Let's wait just a little bit. Well, she asked. We're in a double bowl in a big field, and mom's with us. And she, you know, gobbles, struts. Can I shoot him? Honey, he's 90 yards now. You know, and this goes on until finally he's at the decoy, and she got a good one. We had a good time. But you just can't fake that stuff. So here's my 8-day-old Hunter, and we had to pose for a picture because that's your youngest Grand Slammer right there. 4'10 in 3 years. He better not be an anti-hunter. Yeah, that's it. Are you kidding me? That's my Cookie Monster. And oh, he's got the same shirt on. And so there's, I am all day. So when I get on the ranch, it's okay for me to take him out of the cars or take him out, click him out of the back, and he sits on my console. I put my arm on him, so he's still locked in. You see that? He's strapped in just in case I hit something. He still has a little protection. So past that, now we're down to the meat. So let's talk of the Grand Slam, and we're here to talk about gear needed and just getting you out going the Grand Slam. So the Osceola, here's the woods of the Osceola, the swamps, the cypress, and beautiful the Spanish moss, the ferns, palmettos, all that good stuff. The easterns, just hardwoods, creek bottom, and the, you know, there's. So I do most of my hunting now on orange groves because it's really productive. And but you think of what the norm is, what people think of, and what I thought of when I wanted to go to a specific area. You know, people think New York. That's my one highlight. I was just talking earlier, and they New York City. New York is one of the most beautiful states, and it's huge. And a thousandth of the percent of New York is Manhattan, and that's what everybody thinks of. But it's beautiful to get out and travel those states. So the blue bonnets, if you've never seen blue bonnets in Texas, the temperature has to be right, the moisture has to be right. It's like morels. Most people come from eastern woods and they talk, hey, the morels popping. And when they pop, everybody who's got woods and goes out and gets them, they know that's the time. But this is a blanket of, it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. And then the hills of South Dakota, where I finish up the slam is out in South Dakota, Nebraska, northwestern Nebraska. It's just beautiful country. So the coloration, this is a map from the NWTF. The coloration is such. The only one that I really argue with, in fact, the biologists, they're doing a DNA blood study up in Nebraska right now. That is as brutal as it can be. You don't have a line. You have this. Merriam's over. They sort of scatter and they hit the sand hills here. But, you know, they transplanted birds. They transplanted. You can come up and you can get your wash Washington triple now. I don't know why they don't have easterns in there, because easterns, Merriams, and Rios. But Rios, yeah, green is hybrids, Rios are red, purple is Merriams. It's ridiculous, because I hunt birds right here, and it's ridiculous to say. So Nebraska should be the only legal state without, because they transplanted these, because Rios come up from here, Merriams come down from here, and easterns come. These should be easterns, and you can get over-the-counter three-bird tag in Nebraska, and they're shooting themselves in the foot. But they're doing a DNA. Doctor is doing the college, and he still hasn't got the results. But that's where you look, and it shows a lot of white in there where there's no birds, and that's not accurate. And this is an old map. There's birds in there are more birds in counties, or more birded counties, populated counties, than not, with 5,000 whatever counties in the country. There was my map. I hit it twice. There was my map. I had that from the very beginning, so then I kept it. I didn't travel with it because of technology towards the end. But my thing was I would circle the states as I would get them, and then on the side I had the states left, and I would check them off, and I finished with Arizona was my last one. But the gear needed, number one, is the phone right there. That is your number one resource. Number two is right there too, is a credit card, because it costs everybody something. Whether you're a working man like me, I didn't pay a guide. I paid a buddy of mine, a friend of a good friend, and now we actually spent our honeymoon there a few years ago in Hawaii. I talk to him quite often, but that's the only one. And I've painted compounds because I had a painting business. I did that, and I'd go and knock, and they'd go, "No, we don't do honey." And I'd come up on our ranch, and they'd say that, and I go, yeah, that's okay, but look at all that paint that's chipping all over the city, because we all have thorns in our sides and chores that we don't want to do. And I'd say, you know, I could do that. I could whitewash, come in, power wash, and come back out, and I got some incredible property by doing that. So think about what you have in your niche. I can't give away an Osceola for every bird. In fact, I didn't. Not one Osceola I traded. I'd have them come down. I might give them a good break. When I pay $1,000 to $1,200 for a bird, then I have all my expenses on top of that. You think I could have spent, well, I couldn't, because there are people that could write that check, but I couldn't have spent $49,000 plus for and swapping all that stuff out. But I'd say, hey, come down for a hog hunt, or if you're coming down and you want to go and you're going to Disney, stop in and stay. And I've made some incredible friends. But you, everybody, and not that you'd swap a whitetail, because a lot of people were whitetail all over the country, but you have something. You have easterns. Most everybody lives in eastern country. Here's just a map of Florida where they say the orange is the easterns and the gray is the Osceolas, where they say it separates. There's somewhere just over 100,000 birds in the state of Florida. Half of that is Osceolas, and they harvest somewhere 15,000 birds, 12,000 birds. It's sad. They don't do a tag. They don't do tags down there. They don't do call-in. There's no check stations. There's no way. They just throw out numbers. Tony Young is the one that's in charge of the Florida Fish and Wildlife, and they are FWC, and I ask him, and he throws out numbers, and I say, Tony, how can you? So they're working for it, and hopefully one day we all see that all the states are over the counter, and they realize that really the hunters are the ones that are going to be the conservationists and doing the right thing. And then here's a couple from brochures from public property, but maps, and they're cheesy. They just show sort of the basic roads, and they don't show vegetation. It's not a satellite view, but with the technology today, you can get on Google and you can see right where you are, and you can mix and match and see all that stuff and figure out. There's another there. So there was the two maps. Here's one of Nebraska, in Chadron, Nebraska, where I started off. It was 5 hours from Boulder, and I would go there because I could hunt Nebraska, South Dakota, Wyoming, or Montana and Wyoming. I had four states within 2 hour drive. I could do a four state deal all over the counter. And so I got here, and this is one of my, I bought this way back when. This map is 24 years old. And I said, okay, well, and I looked right in the middle and I said, I want to be right in the, I don't want to go, and there are birds, you can drive down the road and see strutting birds. 2 years ago, there's a big snowstorm and they pushed right in by the cows. Just like that, overnight, they go from way out here to right in where the cows were, and I saw them, and doggone it, I got one. It was pretty cool, but I want to center in you. Oh, it's easy. Well, those are all trails and ravines and streams, and it's like this and that, and you know, you better have a GPS, you better be in shape, and have some good weathered gear with you, or you're going to be miserable. So this is what I would do to start off with. I would have my states, and I would go through there, and the NWTF doesn't do anything like this, and shame on them, and I work on them, but I would go through and I would write the season down. I would say, if you can buy it online, what the limit is, and my goal, and everybody has different goals. Right off the bat, I said, I'm going to get a spring tom out of every state. That being said, I've got 99 slams and I've got 460 birds somewhat total. So I've got 99 Osceolas and I've got many more of the Easterns, Rios, and Miriams. So I do a lot of fall hunting. But I want to know, so the license cost, because if you go to Walmart and somebody's never even hunted and they go, oh, here's your license for $22, and you grab it and sign it and walk out the door, and then you look at it later, hopefully not when Johnny stops you and he goes, do you have your license on you, sir? And you look and it says resident. And you go, wait a second. You, it's up to you to know that information. But I do, this, you know, because, and I made mistakes along the way. I was supposed to be the pro, and I'd go somewhere, and they go, I was in Maryland, Saturday hunt, and we got so close, and they said, oh, yeah, so we'll regroup on Monday. I go, Monday? What about tomorrow? So they said, no, we don't have any hunting on Sunday. So I drove, I got in the car, and I drove all night and got Saturday. I never didn't sleep. So I went to Ohio because I had purchased a tag earlier. So I drove all the way to Ohio just so I could hunt Sunday and didn't get a bird. Gosh, I was close. And then I drove back to Maryland and got one Monday morning right off the bat. It was great. But know when your days are, the phone numbers, contact. Do you need leg tags? Do you check them in? And when I have a contact, I put them up there just so I had something, a reference, and I would always go back to that. So again, information, the phone, talking to people, registrations, and here, I'll go to the next one. So I put our initials for our family, I put those on at the beginning of the season, so because each year I get, Karen Cavender's the one at NWTF, and she's, I call her each year, and they say, oh, due by December 31st, and I say, but Karen, season doesn't end, and you know, Jenny and I actually doubled with birds on the 31st, and I say, I can't get them due by the 31st, so I get them to her sometime in January. She's fine with it, but the one thing I've never done that I'm going to do, this is my stack, I just finished, so it has our initials, and you can't see it, but I already put all of our information, and I had everybody sign it, and I Xerox copied, so I've got a stack of 10 or so, so all I got to do is fill out the date, then I flip it over. And then I put, so this is the personal information, but if you flip it over, then you see all the date of the bird, the license number, time, weapon, all that information, the measurements of him. So you just fill that out right then. And I have notes on my phone, and I have the scale and the knives and all that tape measure stuff. So I do that right away. But then it's not just a thorn in your side at the end of the year, and you're trying to find a license. Again, you call DNR and you figure that out. So I just take a picture of my licenses or important stuff with me, and just so I have record. Delaware, I believe this is Delaware. It's the only state that you have to take a turkey hunting course, which it's like taking a, hypothetically speaking, if you were to get a ticket and you had to do your driver's test or something and pay $20 to do that and get a discount on and don't get points, hypothetically speaking, of course. I mean, you go to the end of it and it's just, you just have to put your time in. There's in the old days when I had notebooks and I would just save notes on logs and logs of miles driven, hours slept, birds, you name it, all that stuff. I just kept track of it. I haven't done it for a while, but my licenses and the money I've spent on licenses, and good news is turkey licenses are relatively inexpensive. But I had a wall in my hunt room that I had hung them all. We're going to be on this one just for a little bit. So gear. So Matt Lindler was here, and I was actually on a hunt. I was in Texas, and he said, Jeff, I need a picture of your gear, because I had written, I do a little article for those guys, and it was of gear. And he said, I need a picture to go along with it, because I thought I'd send him one anyway. So I just stopped the car wherever I was and pulled everything out, and that was it. And I tried to, and most of the stuff is in Ziploc baggies and it's tucked away in nooks and crannies and all that stuff. And I try and travel right at the very beginning. I thought of where I want to get to and how I'm going to get there, and the easiest way. Well, the easiest way with me is no ice, nothing perishable, eat pretty easy stuff, travel light, and the more you do it, I mean, I literally, so youth season's next weekend, and after a couple weeks into it, my stuff's in my car, my camo, my vest, I have a gun rack, and I always have a gun with me and the ammunition, but I could stop wherever I am anytime I wanted to and go chase a turkey. I guaranteed, and have most everything that I needed in the car. But, you know, Ziplocs. There's a selfie stick, but protein bars, expandables from bow, thermocell, binoculars, notes, coyote call, hauls. You get there and you get a tickle and like, oh, and I have that in my vest. I know where every single thing is in the pitch black. I can reach down and get it. And usually when I'm sitting, not usually, every time, I can sit down and set everything and I keep everything in the exact same place. The older you get, you realize that your keys have to go the same place. Or everything in the house, you start misplacing them. But my tape measure, my scale, my Havilons, rubber latex gloves, my ears. I've been around a lot of shooting. I have pitches that throw me off. And when noise is going on, a noise over here, then I can't focus. It just throws me off. But those ears, it helps me go from, when I hear that bird, I cannot just hear him like I think he's that way from me. I can say, nope, he's right there, and he's probably 200 yards away. So, and they're all different brands. That's ESP is the kind I get. My Gore-Tex knee pads, and depending on where I'm hunting, and I'll put those in my vest because they're just Home Depot $8 knee pads, and they Velcro around my knee. And because if you haven't flat-nosed, I think that politically correct, I'm not supposed to say Indian, but if you haven't flat-nosed on a bird, and I can't talk about reaping, but it's unbelievable. Reaping is when you use a fan or a decoy, which is this, and this hooks to my bow. It looks real, and when you go and you sort of get in their realm and you poke it up, I promise they are going to run. The question is, are they going to run that way, or are they going to run to you? And when they run to you, it's like nothing you've ever experienced. And Glenn here, he reminded me of my story of when he came, and of course, I have to see everything, and I sort of tell everybody, stay down, stay down. And I don't realize it too much, and I'm trying to work more at that. But I had my fan out, and there were two toms, and they were working the Miriams of South Dakota, so you can use the topography. And so I just poke up, and I can use my fan and look, and they look, and here they come. I go, get ready. And I go, here they come, get ready. And all he can see is the back of my head and the fan. Well, I'm watching this whole thing go on, and I go, okay, they're here. And I sort of move a little bit, and when I say they're here, they're at that white bag right there, and he shot and got one and shot at the other one, and we had to leave some seed stock for the next year. And he reminded me that I picked up the shell, and I said, smell that, because he's like, how could I miss that? And he smelled it as if I were going to say that you can smell that burn because that's a bad shell. And he smelled it, he took that whiff, and he goes, yeah, I do smell it. And I go, smells like vegetarian, doesn't it? Or I said vegetarian because I said it should smell like victory, and I burned him. I'm sorry, Mr. Glenn. I'll work on that. But I need to get everybody looking to see, because that's what it's about, to experience and see all that stuff. And when you're around him, if you can be out in the woods, and you don't have to, I like to call it scouting because then it says I'm working, but to be in the woods, whether you're carrying, you don't have to carry a weapon, to see all the interaction of the animals talking, of the, when the deer blows, you know, if I'm working a turkey and deer blows, I just know he's ruined. I mean, I know that they feed off each other. It's a ripple effect. But to be in the woods and work and all that stuff. But my decoys, my vest, a bag so I can shoot, a lounger, muck boots. I must have my hiking boots on when I took the picture. Anyway, I have a cooler and some water. I usually have two coolers, one with dry goods, one with the cold goods, because you are going to carry some meat and good stuff, some turkey once you harvest them. But the gear list, and I have two different lists, and I, you know, literally I wasn't going to print them out, but if you, it's really easy. You can Google Jeff Buds, and it goes to my website, or my phone number will pop up. It's not a secret. My email. And if you email me and say, Jeff, gear list, I'll email you right back. You don't have to say please, thank you. Just say gear list. I'll send you my gear list, because I have a list that I drive with, that I get ready, and I have a gear list that I fly with. And I have the same list for when I elk hunt, because it varies. When you got to think about that stuff. I mean, I have a Yeti, a soft Yeti that we carry empty out there. We might put something in, because I know when I come back from South Dakota and Nebraska, Kansas, when I come back, it's going to be full of meat. So you just got to get to a freezer and get it froze before you travel with it. Way back in the day, and there's the talk about old school camo. That was when I was Colorado. I was really, really doing it. You can't see because that stove is blocking it. There's my peanut butter and honey. You sort of see at the bottom that there's a shelf and it slides out. That was the same one. So there's me. somebody must have taken that picture. But so I had a shelf in the side, and I had all my gear. I had a little propane cooker, and I would cook as soon as I would get a turkey. I would cook that, because very minimal ice, I could keep it going. But I would eat it. I would just gorge on protein. I eat a whole turkey in a night, and the next day for lunch, and I'd be done with it, so I wouldn't have to. And as cool as it was really easy. So there, my niece, and this is years ago, because she was like 8, and she's 26 now, so she had given me that stuff, the turkey, which is right here. So that picture was there, and then so I took that for her, and because it's about family, you guys. And so peanut butter, honey, a lot of protein. It's real easy to pack, not refrigeration. So there's my turkey next to me sleeping. So I had sent her those two pictures. And there's another one, a different Toyota, same shelf. I would slide it out. I would pack all that gear in there. And, you know, my water, the same basic stuff. I always travel with the same stuff. I'd have borax. I'd put the beards and the spurs. Now I have bolt cutters, and I cut that spur off. I don't need a whole leg. I cut that spur off, and I throw it in the borax. I just want that inch and a half of the leg with the spur sticking out. Pop the beard off, and you know, I have tail fans and feathers like crazy. Blinds, because I do it down in Florida, and I do a lot of orange grove hunting. There's not a lot of topography to brush to hide in, so I do a lot of blind hunting down there. And I've got 23 double bowl blinds. I mean, blinds are incredible. Nothing wrong with. I love the days when I have a mouth call in my pocket and a couple of shells, and I go. That's it. There's Double Bull just came out with their new see-through, and that's the smaller version of it. And you look, and you think it just looks like normal. And then when you're inside, you see the mesh. So there's some those are what, 5 Jakes, and then you look, but you can see through it. The whole thing around you can see through. So it's a really cool technology. So here was Flora. This is years and years ago. That I showed up before the season. I was hunting public ground, and I got my beat up, ripped old camo and old pair of shoes, and I went trekking through with my GPS. And I had birds marked all over that place, and not one of them were you could hear from the road or from a parking lot, because my niche is being a runner and being in good shape. I would try and be there. The gates open at 4:30. First gobble, you better be set down before 6. So most people, anybody really, if they just one foot after the other, could get anywhere they wanted on the public property. Could you be somewhere in the farthest corner for the first fly down? So that's what I always focused on, is being as far back as possible. I'd pack up, and I borrow that bike down there. Everywhere you are, there's going to be environmental factors that you have not, you know, everybody talks about out west, and I can't tell you how many snowstorms I've been in, 12-inch snowstorms in the first week of May, and you talk about shut an area down, and there's nothing like it. But this is in Florida, on that public ground, an opening morning, and the locals know, once you get water, you can't see anything, and I didn't know how to navigate, and I went right through the water, and went bam! So what did I do? I rolled the window down. I said, well, damage already done. Grabbed my vest and gun and jumped out the window and left my truck in the middle, because I spun it and I couldn't get, I said, whatever, I'm out of here. I didn't get a bird, and luckily I just had to tow it to town and get an oil change. There's the good old days. I had a couple pounds less on me than, but I, in the water, I would pack everything up and I would trek through to get from A to B. Instead of, I didn't have a boat. Locals have boats and they keep canoes there. But I would pack everything up. I got a bird, see his foot top left. I got a bird on my back or in there, just going up and over. So out west, the greasy roads, and if anybody hasn't ever experienced grease, Doc shakes his head, or the people that shake in their heads, you've been there and done that, going on the most, and they grade them over, so you see on the side, they've graded these roads, and there's a little hump here, you can't really tell, but if that hump wasn't there, every car would be in the ditch, because you will literally drive this road and go boing, boing, boing. It's you could do anything you wanted with the wheel. You could put that joker in reverse. Once you get steam, you're going, and there's nothing you can do. So I, of all my properties out there, I saved my honey holes. Glenn was with me, and I we went in, parked, and got the four-wheeler. It was muddy. We came over the first hump. We're 200 yards away from the ranch house, and there were three Toms there, and they came, and he sort of flinched, and I do two-on-ones, so the other buddy was with, and they flinched. I said, no, those birds aren't yours, because they're both in good shape, and they looked at me like, what? We're here to kill Miriam, and I said, yeah, I've got two older guys coming, you know, that aren't in great shape, so in my head, I just sort of prioritize where they are, and I get the birds that are way off the beaten path. When it's good weather, that's the ones I focus on. But this grease, there's nothing. You just can't fathom it. So that one was in Kansas with the rental, and it's sort of hard to see, but I blew that up. Yeah. Luckily for us, I turned to the hard right, and there was a ditch that came down, and I walked it all the way down about 200 yards, and I made sure there wasn't any holes, and I forward and forward low, and just powered right through it, and popped up on the road on the other side, which is a little less greasy. And the farmer was coming, I'll never forget it, farmer was coming at me, and his eyes, he was driving his tractor, just trying to stay on the road himself, and I popped out, and I had to keep going, and I sort of waved, and he's like, man, that joker, he's definitely not from around here. But there's a mom. So there's my rental, and on the top right, as soon as I get a rental, whenever I get them, I go to Walmart is my next stop from airport, car rental, Walmart, the first one, because you can get anything I need, and I'm not sponsored by Walmart, by the way. But I go and I find all their cardboard, and I get cardboard, put it on every crevice on that car that I can, and then, so that was the trashed car, and honestly, I came through a rainstorm, so it's sort of washed off, but the mud underneath there, I thought I captured some of that, but the mud that come, it's insane. But I get it back to as good as I can, and I get that back, and I cross my fingers. I look at my credit card, and they don't zing me for too much extra. So there's mom on a. That was a Rio hunt. It was really cold weather. As you guys all remember, we've had some springs and just horribly cold weather. So her sleeping, her bundled up, us, and then she got her bird, and it was just, I mean, it wet, soggy, rainy bird, but it was awesome. I mean, it was incredible. So there's the youngest, because he was in her belly, youngest Grand Slam on record. I tried to turn that into Karen. She wouldn't take it. But last year, she was waddling around, and I'm carrying her, and I go, for one of the yard birds, and there he is, and so yeah, it was very fun. So I take pictures everywhere I go. So if you can see, I don't know about most people, but when I get a little animated, so a friend was taking pictures. Glenn, was that you? Were you taking those or no? I forget who was. No, it was Mark Burgess from Tennessee. So my jaw is tight, and I said, take off the mask. And you can't see it, but you can. I should have blown up those eyes. And she said, because we wake up at 3:30, 4 o'clock, because fly down out in South Dakota by May 15th is 5:15. We got a long ways to drive. And she said, I'm not taking it off. And I said, take it off. Well, guess who won? So anyway, but pictures, you got to think about your pictures when you're going along, your verticals and your horizontals and stuff like that. But a camera, a tripod, so it's all, this is all coming back to gear, everybody, and the technology today with the cameras, that everybody has a phone. I didn't even use my Canon anymore. I had a Sure Shot. They were $300 cameras. We won the bid, honey, on the auction. But the phones nowadays, they take better pictures, this technology, than the Sure Shots did 5 years ago. It's insane. So this one was my Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire. Before I left for that one, I got all my licenses in order, and I had them there, and then when in Rome, do as the Romans. So in Maine, what do? You eat lobster. So this was two springs ago, and I had a friend that hadn't hunted up there, and I lost my picture. So she surprised me on my 50th with my Super Slam picture, a big map, and it was unbelievable. It was, you know, normally you have to fake and go, oh great, thanks grandmother for the turtleneck that you knit, you know, but she gave me that map, and it was just amazing. But I didn't have my picture, so of Vermont bird. So my buddy said, hey, I'm going up. You know all those spots? I said, you know, you pay for the rental, and I'm with you, and I'll show you. So we went up, and I got my picture, and we had a great time. So I get up there, my honey hole, the guy had called and he fell apart. Literally, I landed and he fell apart, didn't answer me back. And I went, oh, great. So we got on Facebook, main Facebook website, or main turkey hunters, whatever, Facebook, and found a guy. And up there, you can hunt any property you want without it being signed and dated for that year. So I call him, I said, hey, and he says, he goes, man, I'm booked, whatever. I go, I get it. I don't need you to show me. I said, I know you have some property that you can show me. I said, I'm here, my buddy's here. We'll each give you $100, and it's at night. I said, just drive us around and just point us to a couple places. And he goes, okay. So we paid him $200 to be with us for, I don't know, 45 minutes. Maybe less than an hour. So we went back the next day. Biggest Eastern I've ever killed. It's hard to see on those. So a lobster trap. So I train, when I'm going to an area, I take pictures of whatever, the blue bonnets in Texas, the blueberry shrubs up in the Northeast, the grapevines out in California, the whatever it is. But that bird, so he's got his beards, his four beards, he's got 80 some points on just beards alone because it's twice the total length. But it was a 112 point bird. So my biggest bird. And I got in there and I said, okay, I know this is hunted hard. I mean, I could see if I hit the on my remote, beep, beep, on my rental. And I got in there, and luckily for me, not for him, the Jakes were tearing it up. And I got in, I was listening, I was like, where? And I heard one gobble, and I went, okay, he's right there. I had my ears in, and I went right in there, and I sat down, it's pitch black, and I waited, and I waited, and he gobbled again. And now we're talking, it's probably 15 minutes before you'd normally hear a gobble. And that in turkey, dark hours, minutes, seconds, that's a lot of time. And I sat down, I waited for it till I thought I should hear a gobble. I gave one purr cluck like that, set it down, never called again. He answered it, and I set it down. I picked up my gun. He came in. Luckily, Johnny wasn't close because if for me, legality, if a bird's on the ground, that's legal shooting time. But I saw his white head, and that's all I could see. I couldn't see, and I just knew. I was like, I know that's a tom, I know. And I shot him, and that's the biggest bird. One call, state ground. But it's just, there was a guy pulled in, was parked right next to me. I could hear him calling off. He was a few ways away. But knowing your sunrise and sunsets. And this one, you can see sunrise is at 5:21. So you can see 30 minutes. First gobble is 30 minutes before that. And then, here's one of my, that was my Arizona. I screenshotted this. So my wake up time was 2:35 because I had a ways to drive and I had a ways to hike. My next one was 2:40. It's funny how you can go with no sleep. Now that joker's cutting a tooth. We were up last night and the night before. You talk about exhausted. I'm ready to kill somebody. Turkey hunting, 2 hours of sleep. I'm ready to go. I'm excited. You wouldn't know it. Let's go. As he's back there yelling. That was my last bird. It happened to be a double beard. There was the big fires that had come through there, and the ponderosa pines, just beautiful. And he was so white, and it was so that black stump. And I saw it, and I just knew. I said, "That's it. That's the spot." And I was really happy. It was incredible time. Sun rises for me. It's sad you can't capture them, but I clicked through these. There were some toms. Jenny was with me. There were some toms. We had roosted them, and I was talking to I said, I got your bird roosted. It was one of my guys, and he came in, and it was a great hunt in the morning. That was just centered. It was just perfect. So the sun rises. Just being out there. Here's some fun pictures. South Dakota, watching the birds, and they were all running around. What are they doing? This is 15 years ago. But when I got him, I pulled him open. You could just see it. I pulled him open. I do that with every single bird. Any time of the year I'm hunting, spring or fall, I want to see what they're eating. Whether I'm done hunting or not, I lock it away in my head. I cannot remember the two people's names I shook on the way in. I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember watching these birds and they 115 grasshoppers 15 years ago. You know, that's a 9x13 sheet. That's not an 8x11. I open it up and a grasshopper flies away. It was incredible. Morels, when you're out out in the woods. I just saw him and I couldn't believe it. So I start picking morels and he's gobbling. I said, I know. And, you know, I smelled them first. If you, any morel hunters, you know, you smell them and you're like, what, they're here somewhere. They're here somewhere. Very distinct smell. A hen, I took a bearded hen. It legally in all states, I say all states, there's one you can't, Louisiana, maybe? Check, make sure you know your rules and regs, every single state. But I said, huh, I got a bearded hen. What's the chances? Count them. They always say, oh, they have 12 poults. You know, they lay an egg, one a day. She flies down, she goes, she peels off, lays an egg.
All right, that's all I've got for you guys for the free portion of this week's episode of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. If you would like to hear the rest of this week's episode, then you will need to become a subscriber to the premium content of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. And in order to become a subscriber, what you need to do is text the word Turkey Hunter. Make it one word with no spaces. Text that to the number 44222. After you do that, I'm going to send you some instructions that you'll need to follow. And then I'll email a link to you that you can click on and create your username and password for the Podbean application and pay the $18 per year premium subscription fee for the Turkey Hunter Podcast. Your $18 will get you not only the rest of this week's episode, but it will get you the premium content for all of our past episodes, as well as the premium content for the next 52 weeks. There is a bunch of content that's locked up underneath the premium subscription, and I do not think that you will be disappointed with your $18 investment. All right, I hope that you guys enjoyed the seminar that Jeff did at the NWTF convention this past February. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I don't believe I know of anyone who travels more or has traveled more for turkey hunting than Jeff Buds. So I know there's something that we can all take away from that seminar that we can use to make things better for us in the future. All right, so if you would do me a favor this week, I'd be very appreciative. And the favor of the week is this. If you would share this week's episode using the share feature in your podcast player application on your social media pages, I would be very appreciative. It only takes a few seconds to do it, and it is a huge help for me to get the word out about the show. With that said, thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. I know that you have choices. I appreciate you spending your time with us. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Goodbye. Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to the Turkey Hunter Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please go on over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. And make sure to head over to www.iamturkeyhunting.com to subscribe for free turkey hunting tips, tactics, strategies, and product reviews to help you have a more successful turkey season. And stay tuned for upcoming episodes on hunting afternoon birds, how to film your hunt, and the breeding cycle of hens, as well as some guest interviews. Thanks again for listening. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you sharing some of it with us. See you next week.